o simolla ka Sesotho re ko utlwile ntate ee re thabela o bona ee ga re o dumedise morena le o mohela ebile ra tseba mathata e le kopane le ona re leboa fela gore modimo e le a re thusa gore le fitlhe mo le santsana le phela. We must thank God for that. God is still alive. We understand you are not responsible for this. So we are happy that you are alive. Thank you very much. Dadimlahleri, we are going to do a quick introduction. Who we are, and then we start work. The time is no longer on our side, but we'll do the normal time. We do. Don't even be worried about that. Lebitso la ka ke Mondli Gungubele, chair of the panel interview. Ma'am?
Good afternoon, Reverend. My name is Marin Shekili, and I'm the co-chairperson of the panel.
Good afternoon, Reverend. My name is Dikang Stok. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, also a subcommittee responsible for interviews. Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Bridget Masango, the member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development and member of the subcommittee. You are welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm Leticia Aris, member of the Portfolio Social Development. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sokana. Welcome. I'm Dalmaine Christians. I'm a member of the Select Committee, the Social Cluster, and also of this committee.
Afternoon, Rev. My name is Audra Malika. I'm a member of the Select Committee and member of a panel.
Now let the game begin. Ntate, putso ya pele e tla nka metsotso e meraro ka puisano ka gara nna le wena. A conversation between us will take 3 minutes. I'll take 5 seconds of that. Simply asking you about yourself, who you are, and what made you to be interested in this job, and what do you bring. You've got 2 minutes, 55 seconds to do that.
Thank you so much, and then good everybody. Thank you so much for being with me this afternoon. And then my name is Ruben Sokana, and then I am in the first place, I just want to say to you, I'm Reverend Sokana. I'm from Free State, and I'm born in Free State. And then once again, I'm being influenced and by some of the leaders who worked in the substance abuse in many years ago, as I'm also the expert on in prevention program in prevention services, and also aftercare, and then since 1996. I am the hard worker. I'm also passionate to work with the people. I've been influenced by the many leaders who inspire me to make sure that now I grow and assist our communities to change the perceptions and behavior, the lifestyles of the community members, especially those who are using and abusing the substance in our community. So since 1996 up until here, and then I have made sure that now I change so many people in our community, also my village. And then I've been the chairperson of the local drug action committee for many years, the deputy chairperson of the provincial forum in the Free State, and then I've been there for more than 11 years, and then I've been attending a lot of the international event that was organized by the CDA and also the National Department of Social Development, and then that was also inspired me that I need to improve my services where I'm serving, and then and it has also engaged me that now to my area I should also interact with the other stakeholders that are also continuing in a way that now they've been produced a lot of fruitful in our community. Thank you, Ndatu.
So, the Centro Drug Authority was established by an Act of Parliament. Which Act is that? And what does the Act seek to achieve? You have 5 minutes to answer this.
Thank you so much. The Central Drug Authority was established under the Act of 70 of 2008. And that Act have developed what we called the CDA, and also the roles and the responsibilities, and also this the strategical plan that has to respond on the interventions. We remember we do have a supply reductions and the harm reductions and so on and so forth. And then that is responding, the research, a guiding tool of the National Drug Master Plan, that is also guiding us to make sure that now we do implement what the Act says. Because now, if you can read correctly, the Act 70 of 2008, it will tells you that now no one of the community-based services should be rendered in the community if they are not even registered. So it drives us that now any program of the substances, all the community-based services need to be registered and show that now are compliant, reporting to the CDA. And then it also tells us with some of the roles and responsibilities of the LDAC, which is the Local Drug Action Committee. So that act it's also helped us to make sure that now we do implement and the CDA implement today and guides the minister and make sure that now the provinces are reporting to them, are reporting to them, especially these 3 spheres, the provincial forums and also the local drug action committee has to be work together with the CDA.
Thank you. In your own assessment, do you think that the CDA performs its mandate efficiently? If yes, how so? And if not, what are the shortcomings? You can highlight both with regards to its mandate as well as ensuring compliance, accountability, and monitoring, development, and implementation of the departmental drug master plan by national and provincial drug master plans by provincial forums. And then there's another question, and how are you proposing to address these shortcomings? You've got 8 minutes. If you want to write a question down, you can write it down if you don't get it.
Maybe. Okay. Can you also repeat the first question?
In your own assessment, do you think that the CDA performs its mandate efficiently? If yes, then you tell us how. And if not, what are the shortcomings?
Thank you so much. Ma'am, really, to me, since we have gone through with the together with, since the past 5 years with the CDA activities, for sure the CDA, they've done something in our country. And then let me tell you something. When they've been organized the international event conference there in Boksburg and Gauteng, really through the report that we have been received there today in Gauteng in 2019, November, the 1st of November, through the report that we have received, it has been indicated to us that now members who served to the CDA, really they've been worked so hard to interact with so many stakeholders and work together with the international. There was a chain between when you were listening to their report on that. And then what I have been also in learn with the achievement of the CDA is that now all these 3 to 5 years, I've learned that now there is a conversations in our province, in our provinces with regard to the reports. And then sometimes if now the reports are not there, remember I'm also the deputy chairperson of the provincial forum in the Free State. And then my secretarians were used even to update me that now there is a need to now to report on the 1, 2, 3. And then that it has been indicated to me that now the CDA has played their role indeed last under these 5 years. And the other thing, what I couldn't see clear is that with the CDA is the manner in which the treatment services are so expensive that are not accessible to the people, especially the private. That the CDA it seems as if they are not making a noise on that, because these private treatment centers, people are just looking for the money. And only to find that now the most people who need the service are people who don't have nothing. And therefore people fail now. We fail them because we got limited resources in our country, such as the treatment centers. So I haven't heard the noise of the CDA to say now this one really, although the government is doing something on the other hand, but the private sector really, when they saw the client, our people who are addicted, they saw the money. They don't care that now somebody had to go back or reintegrate to their community. So it was just that now I was just maybe asking myself why the CDA can't, because they have authority to advise the minister with this. It's not only to give people the licensing that now such a treatment center is fine. Such a treatment is fine and is compliant with the norms and standards. But really the price that we have currently in the South Africa for only one client at the private sector is too much. And on the other hand, the government, they do have the limited resources. We only to fund in the Free State, we don't have even the single one of the Free State centers in the Free State. State Rehabilitation Center. We do only have the halfway center, which is Dr. Bears Nodia in the clearance. But we don't have the rehabilitation center. It's only the private sector that we have in private treatment center in the Free State. You can imagine now, if a lot of the teenagers that are engaged, that are involved in the substances, where now we are growing the community, where now people doesn't have money, it is difficult to them. But that was only my question, that now I'm wondering where is the CDA don't want to play a role on that. Well, maybe I was thought that now the minister will come up with something on that just to advise that now, or maybe to interact with this private sectors, because it's so difficult now sometimes to our African people to be access such a services. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Sogana, the National National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 represents a multi-sectoral approach to create a South Africa free from the harms associated with drug use, misuse, and abuse. The plan observes national and international policies, plans, and conventions to ensure respect and dignity for all people of South Africa. So if you are appointed as a member of the board of the CDA, you will be expected to implement the mandate of the authority. So I would like you to please share with the panel your understanding of the objectives of the National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 and how you think that the CDA should achieve those objectives. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think the National Drug Master Plan is a vehicle or it's a guiding tools of the CDA with all the interventions, the community-based services. And it also guides us. So we can't run away with the National Drug Master Plan because now it's approved by the Parliament and it also engages us that now, like it or not, we should follow the some of the other amendments or the rules that are there, because it also guides us to some of the other services that are not meeting the norms and standard, and then how do we engage those three strategies. We remember that we do have in national strategies the supplier reduction and then demand reduction and the harm reductions. With those three interventions, the National Drug Master Plan, if you get them correctly, it's helped us to respond to the community and the entire community, that through that guidance, how we can intervene and work together with the national, the provincial, and the local level. Remember, we do have the 3 fears that in our document that guides us, that we should work together, and this local drug action committee, provincial forum of substance abuse, and also the CDA, meaning that we are working together. Same applies like the AIDS Council. They do have that the 3 fears that are working, local, provincial, and national. But what is important here, the National Drug Master Plan, it also responds us to all the challenges that we have in the community, and also the service user, the community-based services, especially to the services that they are rendering. And then, once again, the National Drug Master Plan, it is a very important document because it has been involved so many stakeholders before we can talk about the final. Remember that now, every after 5 years, it has been reviewed. And then it is a journey to involve each and every people, and then everybody inputs on that. I think in that way, on my side, for the sake of of what the CDA is doing, that's a right procedure to involve a lot of stakeholders to come and put their views on that before it can be even approved by the Parliament. I think it's a very, to me, the National Drug Master Plan play a very important role. It's a tool. As a reverend, as I'm standing here, I will say to you, it's a Bible to me, to especially to the people who are working with the community-based services. Yes.
Mr. Sogana, earlier on you mentioned how you have been helped by the international conferences that you've attended, and the plan also observes the international conventions and policies and all those instruments. I just would like you to share with us what you think the value is that is being added by the international side of the international aspect of what the plan speaks to the work of the CDA.
What I've been yet and then with the United Nations or the other delegations there, we have learned that there is a need when when we do respond, especially to the issue of the availability of the drugs in South Africa, but how we can come in and respond through this strategical plan that we have. And then the other thing that I've been learning, they've been inspire us. Remember that now they've been talk about the legalization of cannabis and so on. And then there was some other delegation who spoke about that. And then although the House and some of the other delegations, including myself, we will feel that now South Africa, it is early to legalize this cannabis. But now we do accept it, and we have been shared some of the experience on what the other area. Remember that country is Canada, when it was presenting their own experience on that how did they experience and then how did they overcome on that. Really to us, because it's something new in South Africa here. You remember all these years since we fight any presentations or any motivation that we were come across, cannabis was part of the substances that we need to advise people, that how danger is and how we did. And then, so now it brings us sometimes a confusion to the community, that especially the Rastafarians. The Rastafarians now say, Reverend, now this thing is legalized. So what are you saying to me? So it gives us another energy to say, no, although it's legalized, but it's still dangerous in our body. And we should also add, it's just that the limited resources that we have, that we are not reaching them accordingly. So such a confusion, it will continue, but finally we need to accept today because their input is coming from their experience. Yes. What I've been grasped today with that document is that we need to change the way that we are doing things in South Africa. But through that evaluations, it was also inspired that now we need to make sure that now we monitor our programs in the monthly basis, quarterly basis, and making sure that now whether are we really going through with the strategic plan that it has been recommended. To me, it was just the commitment that we need to follow. The commitment to making sure that now, a quarterly, how do we assess ourselves, how do we see that the manner in which that we are doing, those reporting must show that now there is a really the impact or not the intake. I think it's just the commitment that we have to put in that.
Reverend, what is your understanding of good governance, including the main features, and how would you ensure good governance in the CDA?
Okay, thank you so much. I think we, when you talk about the good governance, things have to go procedurally. Actually, things have to go according with the mandate of the collective people. In other words, there should be the meetings that have to be taken. There should be also the commitment to say we do have a certain plan of action that we have, and it has to be something like 1, 2, 3, if we have been discussed earlier on, we should implement it. And then when you talk about the governance, it gives you also the oversight, and then it also tells you with how we should manage the structures, how we can also make sure that now that our objectives are met, and then also to make sure that now we do our own, we make sure that now our responsibility down there with the people that are affiliate or with the people that are affiliating to us as a CCDA, we do give them the support. And number two, the other thing of the governance is that the governance, you are giving the mandate to do 1, 2, 3, that we need to be report to somebody as like a minister. And then if you couldn't done that, in other words, you'd be having a problem, because now somebody who have to guide and then advise you and report to him or her, and then you got that mandate to do that. So the governance, it's a commitment to say we need to meet in the certain time, make a plan together, decide together, do things together, and make sure that now all the responsibility spheres that are affiliating to you, you make sure that you meet their objectives.
Thank you, Chairperson. Rev. Sokana, what are the key issues affecting young people, communities, and families regarding drugs and substance abuse? How would you advise the government to deal with these issues?
Thank you so much. I think there are a lot of things that are also affecting the young people. Some of the challenges is the peer pressure. That's one of the most important things, because some people can't, that are not dependent, and then they depend to other people, to the other gangs, young people. Peer pressure play a very important role to them. And the other thing is a poverty. And then because of the poverty, it also contributes to the young people. Remember that now, our country, we do have the inequality communities. So some people, because of not deciding on their or helping with the other people, they thought that now they will rely to the other people. So the poverty is also contribute on that to them. And some families are growing up without their parents, and then at the very early stages. So now that leads these young people to be involved, and with no support. And then the other thing that I've been realized to the young people is that the young people, they used to have this gangsterism. And they persuade very easily on that gangsterism. You saw some young people who are having tattoos, And at the same time, those who are having the tattoos are smoking the dagga or other substances, are abusing other substances. So our children love that, love the tattoos. If now somebody doesn't have any tattoos, they say, they feel as if it's bad to them. So our children persuade very easily to this thing. And then that's why we do have some gangsterism. That's why we do have some our young people who are affected by HIV/AIDS, because they do love money, and they do love a blessed and so on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Thank you, Chairperson. Reverend, in your opinion, what is the state of public rehabilitation centers in the country? Are there any challenges with regard to access to these public rehab centers in South Africa? And if yes, what are those challenges and how would you advise the country to address those challenges?
Right. The State Rehabilitation Center, we know that now the government, they do have their own resources that is being subsidized, that is subsidizing people who are unable to maybe to have money to pay the entry, and the government, they do subsidize them. But in some of the other things, the State Rehabilitation Center, it helps our community that doesn't have nothing in the first place. Because now a lot of young people, a lot of people in our country, they do not have money. So now the State Rehabilitation Centers assist us to make sure that now those who don't have money, they also have easily accessible to the facilities. Now, what I've been realized with the State Rehabilitation Center is that the subsidies that the resources that we have in our country based on the rehabilitation treatment centers are very few. And then in 9 provinces that we have, people are also struggling. People are also struggling. So now it's going to also delay us to respond quicker to those who need our services, because the government, they do have their plan on their way to establish those treatment centers, but unfortunately it's a journey to make sure that now are also sustainable on our provinces. And then what I would advise to the government is to make sure that now all the 9 provinces, they do have the treatment center, so that people can be easily accessible, unlike people they can go to private treatment centers. As I said to you, that now the private treatment centers, they do look for money, not only to change the perceptions and the lifestyle of our children. So it's really a problem in our country. I don't know how we can just do that, but now what is important, my advice to the CDA is to continue to advise the minister to establish so many treatment centers, state-level rehabilitation centers in our country, so that our inequalities, communities, they can have an access to facilities.
Thank you. One of the challenges facing the country is the lack of comprehensive national statistics on the prevalence of substance and drug abuse. How can the Central Drug Authority play a role in this regard?
Can you repeat again that question?
One of the challenges facing the country is the lack of comprehensive national statistics on the prevalence of substance and drug abuse. How can the Central Drug Authority play a role in this regard?
Thank you so much. I think what is important, the challenge is down there at the in municipalities. We remember that now the Act of 70 of 2008 also engaged that the municipality has to take a lead in terms of the initiative of this. But what is important is that we'll find ourselves that there are very few municipalities, mayors, the premiers, that are also take the responsibility on this. So this demolishes our dignity or our instrument that we have. We are doing something down there, the local drug action committee, but the mayors fails to give us a support. I don't know what mechanism that we can use on that, but what is important, I think the challenges here that I've been experienced is that in the local level is there we need a very effectively programs that is going to inspire the local drug action committee to make sure that now they do report on the new drugs availability, and they do report on the challenges that on what they have been experienced. If we can maybe make an effectively of this local drug action committee, I'm telling you, we can run this program of the CDA, and then but the things that we are supposed to be implemented, if are not implemented accordingly down there at the local, there we will fail our people on the other hand. But to me, I will say that now if we can make the local drug action committees be effectively, the same applies like the AIDS Council, local AIDS Councils. So to me, to us here, if we can make sure that now maybe the mayors are engaged, assign the commitment with the premiers, also I think we can play a very important in this structure, because now this is a higher political agenda. This issue that we are talking, we must put it in the higher political agenda. But unfortunately, we find ourselves that now there are some stakeholders that are waiting there, and other political leaders are there, so it makes us not to be very strong, so that to be effectively locally.
I did hear that you were saying that the local sphere of government need to play a key role, specifically the municipalities. Do you think that the local government is the only role player in this?
Not alone, together with the social development and the other stakeholders. Yes. We say 1 minute. The other thing that I want to address here is not only the municipality, together with the social development. And the social development is playing a very key role in it. And then, but we need to ensure that now locally the different department, stakeholders, private sectors, businessmen are also part of the initiatives. And then that's the way that I believe that. It's not only the municipality. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Reverend. I think the question that I'm going to ask you, you have partly covered it earlier on in your response. So I just want to pose it to you, but we allocate like 3 minutes to you, and then you will be able to deal with the question. Recently, there's been much debate about the court judgment on the marijuana, the cannabis, around the private use of or decriminalization of the private use and all of that. So I want you to share with us your opinion regarding that court judgment. Thanks.
Thank you so much. With regard to marijuana, that is one of the aspects of the prevention service in the community. Really, I've been experiencing a difficulty on our presentations, especially on our dialogues and so on, and with regard to this cannabis legalizations and so on. And then, but what is important here, we understand that now there are some other religions that is behind that, and then some people, they feel that now their feeling has now been adopted, at least they will be free. But unfortunately, things are still going to be worse, especially to us as the community-based services. The challenge is to us now, with the resources that we have, to give an understanding to the people, and especially through the booklet, the resources, convincing them to make sure that now they do understand better. Remember, earlier on, we were also saying that the cannabis is illegal. So now we have changed that speech now. We have said now, okay, after all this, we say, okay, now, although it's no more illegal, it's legal, but people have to follow 1, 2, 3, because there are still danger effects of it. And then we need to make sure that we address it. It is unfortunate that now we are in need of the resources in our country. And it is only the Department of Social Development who will say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then only to find that now other people are quiet because they don't have any resources on that. So this is our chance, even to our congregations, that it has been affect our congregation. Because some people who are smoking that, they will tell you, no, I'm not going to attend such a church, because the such a church, a pastor will always say, punish you on 1, 2, 3. They divide themselves according with their beliefs. But it is not that. It's just that we need to make sure that we give our people a guidance through this amendment. We see what is important. When the parliament approves some other laws, this thing of circulating the inputs to the people, it goes to the other people who have never even had a say with the input of the draft. You only to find that now, you'll hear that now the draft has been taken, has been circulated among the 9 provinces. If you can ask that, how many, who are those people who are there? You'll be surprised and say, even the single local drug action committee were not part of the meeting and so on. That's another thing. It gives us a really problem. It's not inspiring us in that way, but now, to me, the South Africa to legalize the cannabis, truly speaking, it was early to us. It was early to us because of the resources that we have. And two, they've been looking only the marketing structure and the productivity and so, but without checking whether how people are going to be dangerous.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Reverend Sokana, government introduced a number of lockdown regulations to deal with the spread of the virus. And then one of those regulations that were introduced by government dealt with the ban of alcohol and the sale of tobacco as well. So I would like you, in your response, to focus more on the sale of alcohol, the ban on the sale of alcohol. So, if you were to advise government, what would be your opinion or your advice to government how to deal with such issues in the future if such pandemic persists? Thanks.
Thank you so much. I think this issue of the COVID-19, really, to us in South Africa, it was a bomb to us because it came at the time that really we still need a lot of support to our government. And then you can also see with the statistics how people are dying. It's also clear that now people, we do have some, a portion who's got a misunderstanding. But we have spread the message of prevention service. with regard to COVID and people, how can be responsible or drink and so on. But what is important in that is that now, in most cases, when the liquor outlet or the tavern and the bottle store are closing, the time that are opening, you see a queue line, people looking for the alcohol, and so and so. That is also indicate that now, our country, we are still really need a lot of the job that we need to do to help our people, because some people drink alcohol, abuse alcohol, use alcohol as a culture now. And that's why we have the problem of these people who are not understanding the danger effect of this. And also to take care for themselves. There are also children that are not that are not even making sure that are complying. Even bottle store. But there are policemen, there are stakeholders that are responsible for them to do that. But it's not the issue. People have to be disciplined before they can do something. But it is their responsibility. So it is a little bit a journey to us. But in the near future, in our government, with regard to this epidemic, I will advise that it is very important to make sure that information transmission play a very important role. Because the information transmission, if people don't have enough a booklet or the information, the radios that are also taken for this important information to make them aware, really we are going nowhere. Yes. And then I will advise the government if they can just do that in the next time, and I will advise if they will be any one of the other diseases or epidemic that will come to our country, really, I would advise next time that now the government should focus, especially to the key role stakeholders that are in the communities, so that people can influence the other people easily, that how the danger, and then how people they can take care for themselves.
Right.
What's the matter? We thank you very much for the opportunity to share with us on various questions dealing with certain topics under one topic. Do you have any question or comment before we part ways?
Thank you so much. And then to me, I want to thank my presence to you, representing my Free State, my province in the Free State. I want to thank for selecting me among the other members to be part and parcel of your shortlisted. I want to also to thank the questions that I heard in this house. It has been inspiring me that there are a lot of things that I need to do it if I will find myself being a member of the CDA. And number two, I'll make sure that now the issue of the governance is approved to our structures. Thank you so much. I heard Kimudula Stilo Kitami or Rovala, because with a flight it was said in the Leona
in the stately flight in Wesley.
Please be safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, my panel. Thank you so much. God bless.
Yes, honorable.